Lunch and Listen is Kentucky Opera's opportunity to introduce audiences to each of our opera productions through performances and conversations with our guest artists. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge our sponsors for supporting another great season of opera in Louisville with the Kentucky Opera. First, the Brown-Forman Corporation, our season sponsor. Next, Hilliard Lyons for sponsoring this production of Il Trovatore. Also, J.P. Morgan for sponsoring the Champagne Level, and GE for sponsoring our Studio Artist Program. And we would like to acknowledge the annual support that we receive from Delta Airlines, the Galt House, Bluegrass Motorsport, of course Metro TV and Channel 25, the Kentucky Arts Council, Metro Louisville, and the Fund for the Arts. So please join me in a hearty round of applause to thank them for creating another great season of Grand Opera in Louisville. On Friday, and you'll have to excuse me, I'll apologize in advance, but I have a little bit of that Ohio Valley in my throat this morning. October 12th and October 14th, Kentucky Opera will present the second production of our 2007 Brown-Forman fall season with Giuseppe Verdi's vocal tour de force, Il Trovatore. Translated, that is The Troubadour. Born in 1813, with a career spanning the entire evolution of opera in the 19th century, Verdi defines for us not only the Italian opera style as it evolved throughout that period, but more importantly, he established through his work the new style of operatic singing that is a standard for opera singers even today. He began his career at the height of the bel canto period, known for its lyrical passages in instrumental as well as vocal works, and made famous certainly by the operas of Bellini, Donizetti, and Rossini. Although he had mild success up to that point, it really wasn't until 1842 that when he premiered his opera Nabucco that he elevated himself to the top of the operatic world and set a new path for Italian opera. We consider Verdi this transitional composer, taking us from the melodic form and vocal structure of bel canto music to a broader, more romantic style of opera composition that demanded greater vocal strength and emotional expression from the singers. And this culminated in the realism or verismo opera of Mascagni, Leoncavallo, and ultimately Puccini. Il Trovatore is one of three operas that define Verdi's middle or second period. Rigoletto premiered in 1851, Il Trovatore in 1853, and La Traviata also in 1853. These three operas represent the tectonic shift in opera composition and established Verdi as one of the world's most beloved composers. Now, before we begin our performance, I would like to turn our attention at this time to the exceptional group of artists that we have gathered today in the studio for this production of Il Trovatore. We are delighted to have with us today our Inez, singing the role of Inez, is Courtney McEwen, one of our studio artists. Welcome, Courtney. Our Ferrando is Mark McCrory. Welcome, Mark. Azucena is Eugenie Greenwald. Our Count de Luna is Lester Lynch. Singing Leonora for us is Mary Elizabeth Williams. And Manrico is Carlo Cibelli. Our maestro for this production is Joseph Mekovich, joining us again from his success last season with the Pearl Fishers. Welcome, Joe. Our stage director is Patrick Diamond. And finally, our accompanist for this production, as well as today's performance, is our wonderful friend Kelly Quo. Welcome, Kelly. So, welcome everyone to Louisville. We'll have an opportunity to hear just a bit more from the artist as we get into this performance. Now, the action of Il Trovatore takes place in Biscay and the Aragon regions of Spain during the Wars of Aragon between 1410 and 1412. The opera begins with a bit of a backstory. In the opening aria, we hear Ferrando, a soldier, tell a story that sets the stage for the conflict to come. He recounts how an old gypsy woman had cast the evil eye or spell on the count's infant son, Garcia. She was captured and burned at the stake, while Garcia went missing. The remains of a child were found on the fire, with all believing that the old gypsy's daughter, Azucena, avenged her mother's murder. So please welcome to the microphone our Ferrando, Mark McCrory. This is Mark's debut with Kentucky Opera, and Mark will be singing Abbiata Zingara. This is Ferrando's aria from Act 1, Scene 1 of Il Trovatore. Welcome, Mark.
Padre beato, il polconte di luna, fida nutrice del secondo nato, dormi appresso la cuna. Su rompel dell'aurora un bel mattino, ella dischiuderai. E chi trova d'accanto a quel bambino? Abbiata Zingara, o scappellarda, ci che fai simboli di maliarda, e sul fanciullo con viso arcigno, occhio fice a torvo sanguigno, d'oror compresa è la nutrice, acuto il grido, un grido la raccoglie, ed ecco in meno che labbro il dice, i servi accorrono in quelle soglie. Fra minacce uli percose, e fra minacce uli percose, la re discacciano che entravio so, allora discacciano che entravio so, allora discacciano che entravio so.
Mark, if you would, please come to one of the silver microphones. We'd just like to ask you to tell a little bit about yourself to the audience.
Well, my name is Mark McCrory, and I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. I lived there pretty much all my life, went to school at University of North Texas in Denton, outside of Dallas. I ended up getting into the Lyric Opera Center with the Lyric Opera of Chicago, so I spent a lot of time there. That was great, and then ended up moving back close to home to be close to family. And I live outside of Dallas area now, and it's my first time to Kentucky, and I'm very happy to be in Louisville.
We are delighted to have you. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Great to have you and make your debut with this production. So moving on now, in scene two of Act One, we are at the Palace Gardens with Leonora, the lady-in-waiting to the Princess of Aragon, and she is strolling with her confidant Inez. She recalls how she fell in love with an unknown knight who had disappeared when the war broke out. Then one evening, outside her room, she heard a troubadour and immediately recognized him as her black knight. Inez tells her to be cautious with her love, to which Leonora replies that her love for the troubadour is eternal. I'm very pleased to welcome to the microphone Mary Elizabeth Williams, our Leonora, and Courtney McEwen in the role of Inez, as they perform for us the recitative and aria Tace la Notte from Scene 2 of Act 1 of Il Trovatore.
Mm-hmm. te la regal donna chiese nudesti. Ora alta notte ancora senza vederlo per il mio soffiamo tu nutri. O come, dove la primiera favilla in te s'apprese? Ne tornei, va.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you. Thank you, Mary Elizabeth. Please come to the microphone, if you would. And Courtney, just tell us a little bit about yourself. You're new to Louisville this year, and you're a member of our Studio Artist Program.
I am. I just graduated from Northwestern University with my master's degree.
Congratulations.
This June. Thank you very much. And I'm here in Louisville with the Kentucky Opera through March.
Wonderful. We're glad to have you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Mary Elizabeth.
Yes.
This is your Kentucky Opera debut.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Philadelphia. Actually, Mark and I have a lot in common because we both ended up in the general vicinity of where we grew up, but we traveled and studied in various places. So I grew up in Philadelphia, got my bachelor's degree actually in English, contemporary literature and composition at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, and then I started a master's degree at Northwestern, and I did my studies for opera sort of privately and through all of that in all of those university situations. And I ended up in Paris for 2 years at the Young Artist Program at the Opera Nationale de Paris. And when it came time to come home because my visa had run out, I decided, you know, why not go home and be close to mom? And so I live now in Philadelphia in a little apartment, but I'm never there. So my mother waters my plants.
As any singer is never at home, right. But you have quite a few relatives in the area.
I do. My mother's people actually are from around here. My grandmother on my mother's side grew up in Louisville. And so my mother grew up just across the river in Scottsburg, Indiana. And I have family in Scottsburg still, in Clarksville, in Louisville. And we did have family in Lexington, but I think they've moved.
Well, I hope they're all listening to the radio today.
I hope so. We told them to listen.
Oh, great, great. And I hope they have a chance to come and hear you in this performance
I
as well.
Too.
I'm sure they'll be as delighted as we are to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good to have you here. A singer that we will be hearing just a little bit later in the program, I would like to invite up now Lester Lynch, our Count de Luna. Welcome to Louisville, Lester.
Hi.
tell us a little bit about yourself, Lester.
Well, I was sitting there thinking, what am I going to tell about myself? well, I'm originally from just up north there in Ohio, Grew up in Elyria, Ohio, which is kind of near Cleveland. Maybe some of you have been there. There's a mall there. I think that's about it. and then I began my studies at Baldwin Walls College and then moved on to Newman Conservatory and then the Juilliard School in New York. And I still live in New York. And again, I'm never there as well.
And this is your Kentucky Opera debut as well.
Yes, it is. And I have to tell you, this is a great city. I didn't know what
Isn't
to expect
it grand?
Coming down here, but wow. Yeah.
Well, we hope you enjoy this enough that you'll come back to sing with us again.
Yeah, I think I will. Maybe now, in March.
Is your mother still... There you go. Yeah. That is right. And again and again. Yeah. Is your mother still in Ohio?
My mom and dad still live in Ohio, and actually I think they're planning to come down for the performances. And
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We'll be delighted to have them.
Thanks.
So welcome, Lester.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this time, I would like to bring the stage director for Il Trovatore, Patrick Diamond, here. This is also Patrick's debut with Kentucky Opera. Welcome, Patrick.
Hi.
Or Pat in a former life as I knew you.
Yes. Everyone still calls me Pat all the time. Pat Diamond.
Pat and I were ADs down in Dallas Opera during the mid-90s together, working on different productions, although we didn't work on the same productions, and then our careers took different paths from there.
Right.
So what have you been doing since the Dallas days?
Since the Dallas days? Well, I've been working all over the country. I used to work at the Aspen Music Festival a lot, and I decided that I wanted to go back to school and get more training as a director, and I went to the Yale School of Drama, and I got a master's there. And then since then, I've been freelancing as a director. So I live in New York, and I do theater and opera both.
Have you worked on a production of Verdi before?
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually worked on Il Trovatore 3 times before.
Oh,
this
really?
Is my first time actually directing it, but I've had to stage scenes in it for other directors before. And I worked on one production in Dallas, as a matter of fact, when we were both there. The year that John Copley did 3 productions.
Yes, yes. We love John Copley.
Yeah.
So tell us about your approach as a stage director coming to Il Trovatore. For those in our audience that are familiar with the opera, there are certainly many challenges dramatically with the opera.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one of the things about the opera is that it does have a tendency to kind of sprawl in different ways, both with the plot and with the tone of the opera. It tends to have a lot of extremes. And one of the things I really wanted to do was try to embrace those extremes and have light moments and have really dark moments right beside them. And sometimes it turns on a dime. So it takes a little bit of time to find those, as Joe calls them, pivots that happen dramatically.
I like the idea of embracing what the opera is as opposed to trying to make sense out of it or figure it out or fix what may be some holes dramatically.
Right.
And too often, I think, in productions I've seen, they miss the point or they end up highlighting those very mistakes or holes that are in the opera.
Right. Well, that's the tricky thing about it, I think, because musically, I mean, there is so much great music in it, and you want to treat it with some care, I think, and be careful about trying to do too much to it or add some huge concept to it, because you can end up dislocating yourself from what's actually going on in the action, I think. So you have to approach it very carefully.
And you're given quite a bit of material emotionally to work through.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things that I think plot-wise is great is that the story about what's happened to these characters in the past gets told 3 times over the course of the opera. So you really don't have to make up for that. I mean, you have to deal with that as the given circumstances for the characters and then move ahead, knowing that.
Yes. And work with the great material that you're given in the piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Well, welcome, Pat. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes. Now, moving ahead with our performance today, in the first scene of Act Two, we move to the gypsy camp and are introduced to first Azucena, the daughter of the old gypsy long since gone, Manrico, the troubadour, who is also Azucena's son, and finally, one of Verdi's most popular pieces, the Anvil Chorus. Sitting amongst this band of gypsies, Azucena tells the story of her mother, who was burnt at the stake for bewitching one of the old count's two sons. The aria Strida la Vampa is full of images of savage flames, a screaming crowd, and the anguish of her dying mother. Manrico, hearing this and never having heard this horrific tale before, asks her to recount for him the story of how she, to avenge her mother's murder, kidnapped one of the count's sons. In Non son tuo figlio, she tells Manrico that she intended to throw the child on the fire, but his cries moved her and she wavered. She then saw her mother's ghost and, in a fit of raw emotion, threw the child in the fire. When her mind cleared, she saw beside her the count's son, and she knew she had murdered her own child by mistake. So please welcome our Azucena, Eugenie Greenwald, to perform the aria Strida la Vampa, and immediately joined by our Manrico, Carlo Cibelli, for the duet Non son tuo figlio.
Non son tuo figlio, e chi son io, chi dunque?
Tu sei mio figlio!
Eppure dicesti!
Forse che vuoi, quando il pensiero s'affronta, face truce caso, lo spirito intenebrato pone stolte parole sul mio labbro. Madre, tenero madre, ama vesti ignora.
Potrei negarlo.
A me, se vivi ancora, non dei Neptuno, le polaci campi di Pelia, ove spento fama ti disse, a darte sepoltura, non mossi. La fuggente ravità non discovrì, né se non t'arresto, ma te n'affetto. E con te cuore non spese a risanare le tante ferite
che portai nel dito cuore, ma tutte qui nel petto io sol fradile già sbandati al nemico volgendo ancor la faccia. Il rio dell'una su me piombò col suo drappello. Io caddi, però da forte io caddi.
E come uccide a giorni che l'infame di singolare cercarmi per salvi da te. Quel tace cava, strana pietà per esso.
Non saprei dirlo a me stesso.
Strana pietà, strana pietà.
Reggendo all'aspro assalto e già tocco il suolo veo, ma le lava il colpo in alto che trafiggerlo dov'io, quando arresta un moto arcano, nel discender questa mano, le mie fibre acuto gelo farre vente a brividi. Mentre un grido vien dal cielo, mentre un grido vien dal cielo, che mi dice non ferire.
Ma nell'alba dell'ingrata non parlo di cielo, o se ancor ti spinge il fato a pugnar col maledetto, a pugnar col maledetto, con Pio Figlio, con Dio, con Pio Loro, il cenno mio. Si malessa questa lama dei primi
and the
Oh, thank you so much. We are so lucky to have you with us today. Thank you. Thank you very much. And to have you with this production. Jeannie and Carlo, welcome to Louisville, both
thank
of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming and joining us.
Yeah, we're all making our debuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Except Joe.
Well.
Yes. So, Jeannie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in New Orleans, which is still a city that's very near and dear to my heart. But I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, not too far from here. And I went to the Ohio State University School of Music. And when I graduated, I went to New York, where I still live. And as I said, I'm not there very often, but I love it when I am. And been very blessed to be a part of this business because you get to meet and work with great people like this, and I'm very happy to be here.
Do you still have family down in New Orleans?
No. And actually, my parents have passed, but my sister lives in Brooklyn with my gorgeous nephew, and so we're all basically I have a lot of dear friends, though, that still live in Columbus. Some of which will be coming down for the show. So
wonderful.
I'm really excited.
Wonderful. We have a little phone going off there. It must be an emergency phone call. Yeah. That's all right.
It's Pascala. I'm not a yeah.
He's in Louisville.
Yeah. La Scala is calling. We'll put them on hold for just a moment. Yes.
That's my boy.
Yeah.
Tanner,
well, welcome, Carlo.
Always have to have your cell phone on at all times.
Yes. Carlo, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm born and raised in New York City. Still live there. Did my training out in California. My mother migrated to San Francisco when I was a teenager. So I went out with her, of course. And went to University of California and then the San Francisco Conservatory of Music for my master's
Wonderful.
Degree. And since then, just been singing, which has been nice.
Well, we are delighted to have both of you with us today.
I'm happy to be here.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you, Carlo.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. I'm pleased to invite up to the microphone now our maestro for this production, Joseph Mekovich. Joe, if you will come forward. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. Hello.
As we said earlier, you were with us. You were supposed to make your Kentucky Opera debut with this production, but in an emergency, you came out and saved us on a production of The Pearl Fishers, had a great success with that. So we're delighted to have you back again with us.
Good to be back.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Joe. We ran into each other several times during our Minnesota Opera days back
exactly.
in the 90s. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. What when you were a stage manager and I was at the keyboard.
Yes.
It was 1994 indeed. And the opera was Il Trovatore.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Which is kind of interesting. But I grew up in
Minneapolis.
Yeah,
that did in my stage management career. That was the last show, so.
No. I grew up in Minneapolis and then went to Oberlin for my undergrad and Yale for my master's and sort of been playing in this business ever since and enjoying every aspect of it, especially collaborating with all of my colleagues up here.
Great set of artists to collaborate
most
with.
Most definitely.
Absolutely. When you approach as a conductor, as a music director, a piece like this, it's an old war horse. It's Verdi at his best. There's another hit tune every time you turn a page. How do you approach that in a production? Have you worked on this production as a conductor before?
Yes, I have. I have, and most definitely. And the most important thing to do when you're working on this middle period Verdi is to embrace the text and embrace your artists. Everybody has an idea, conductors have an idea as how something should go, but you really don't know how it goes until you get to work with and collaborate with the tools behind me. And you get to realize the text and realize the music. And that's sort of that discovery that we do in rehearsal that sort of drives me, and I don't see it so much as a challenge as sort of a role and a duty as a conductor to bring all of the true interpretation of Verdi, his style, and also bring the artistry of these artists to the performance.
So in that sense, coming from the perspective of an ex-stage director, you take a more organic approach working with your artists, seeing what they bring to the table, and you collaborate with them more directly.
Most definitely, and just keeping true to the text and true to what Maestro Verdi wanted, and to accent this melodrama, and it's okay to call this a melodrama, because as you see with our singer-actors behind me right here, they do have very strong personalities and very strong ideas on how the characters should be focused, and it's keeping that in line and keeping that alive in a very visceral way is what the job that I feel, and incorporating the orchestral colors, where at this point in Verdi is so very important as he's expanding his palette of how the orchestra works.
Are there any difficulties because he is in this transitional period and he's coming out of that rich bel canto tradition and moving into this new vocal force that he is creating in this middle period? Are there some challenges working with that? Some differences, if you will, from the bel canto structure?
Most definitely. Like, for instance, if you're doing Lucia, you're still confined by a convention, a numbered piece, the way that the piece goes. What's Turandot, the last production, was a through composed piece. Il Trovatore, that is a numbered piece, which means you have more opportunities to clap. You hear an end of an aria, everyone gets to clap. In Turandot, you clap at the end of the act, unless you stop for a big hit tune like Nessun Dorma, which you're not supposed to stop for.
Which we did not in our production.
Outstanding. So here Maestro Verdi is trying to experiment with this through-composed idea and continue the dramatic momentum. For instance, one thing that's very successful that he does, it's mostly from a dramatic standpoint, is that the character Azucena is there throughout the piece. Maybe not physically, but she's always there on stage, and you get that through the text. So that itself is really quite revolutionary and amazing. And that comes from the prosody and the text that he and his librettists, plural.
That's a very good point, because I've always found this piece interesting that Azucena and certainly her mother are really the focal point.
Right.
Everything that's going on, and there are all these dramatic conflicts throughout the piece, but it's really Azucena that brings us back to what as the heart of this opera and the dramatic conflict.
Yeah, and early on, Verdi wanted to name the piece after the old gypsy woman, not, with all due respect, Carlo, not the
troubadour. Yes.
And wanted to have it. He wanted to have Azucena be there.
Well, thank you, Joe, for being here. That's
my
very
pleasure.
Nice insight. Thank you for coming up and chatting with us today as well. And we wish you all the best of luck, and we'll all come and see this production of Trovatore.
It's good to be back. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Joe. moving ahead now to the second scene of Act 3, we see Manrico and Leonora as they prepare for their intended wedding. Yet she is distraught over the dark shadow that has been cast upon their happiness. In an effort to calm her fears, Manrico urges her to allow love to speak to her heart. He says that love will make him more fearless and stronger in the face of danger. He professes in his beautiful aria, Así ben mio, that if he must be a victim of the war, his final thoughts will be of Leonora and their love. So please welcome with me back to the microphone Carlo Cibelli to perform Manrico's haunting aria, Así ben mio.
Sorrow in a cell precedent estre mia meriti. La morte a me parrà, parrà, e sola in te. La morte a me parrà, e solo in ciel, e solo in ciel pregerti, la morte a me parrà. Morte a me parò.
Bravo, bravo. Thank you, Carlo. Thank you very much, Carlo. Our final selection today comes from the last act of the opera. Manrico has been captured and imprisoned by the Count, and Azucena lies in a cell not far off. As the Count instructs his men to prepare for Manrico's execution, Leonor pleads mercy for her beloved troubadour. In this powerful duet, she swears she will give herself to the Count if he only releases Manrico. Please welcome to the microphone Mary Elizabeth Williams and Lester Lynch to sing Udiste from Act 4 of Il Trovatore.
Udiste come albergi la scure al figlio ed alla madre il roco. Abuso forse quel potere che pieno in me trasmise il prence, o tal mi tracci, dona per me funesta. O bella è mai, ripreso Castellor, di lei contezza non ebbi, e furo intorno tante li ciel che tante. Oh, dove sei, crudele? Come, tu donna?
Me ne vai a me!
A te venisti?
E le da presso allora estrema, e tu lo chiedi?
O sal potresti?
Si per esa, pietà, pietà, domanda!
E tu deliri?
E tu?
Tu deliri?
Pietà!
Oh, io derriva il sentir pietà!
Oh, però mi ho te l'inspiri!
Io derriva il sentir pietà!
Oh, però mi ho te
e sol vendetta mio nome, vendetta e sol mio nome, vendetta e sol mio nome.
Pietà, pietà, domanda, pietà, 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 domanda, pietà.
Mira, ti acerri la grime, sfarga il tuo piede un rio. Il pianto svelare dove il sangue mio svelare svelare ti vedi
turbi la sua morte.
Più
la mia è più terribile, ti vanta il mio furor. Più la mia è più terribile, ti vanta il mio furor.
We are so fortunate to have these singers with us today and with us on this production. It's an excellent cast and it's an excellent opportunity to see Giuseppe Verdi at his best. Excuse me, I just have a little bit of frog in there, but we'll wrap this up right now. Just remember, Il Trovatore is on Friday, October 12th at 8 p.m., on Sunday, September 14th at 2 p.m. We also have our third production of the season, Dialogues of the Carmelites. It's on Friday, November 30th, also at 8 p.m., and Sunday, December 2nd at 2 p.m. For tickets, you may call 502-584-7777 or 1-800-690-9236, and you can also reach us on our website, www.kyopera.org. We want to wish a special thanks to our audience here today in the studio, our audience out there on the airwaves, as well as the Public Radio Partnership and Classical 90.5 WUOL for sponsoring this lunchtime program. We also want to thank and please welcome our special guest artist to Louisville. Join me in a round of applause for this wonderful performance today. Thank you, everyone. I have one just final brief announcement. The Kentucky Opera will be sponsoring a book fair at Barnes & Noble on October 12th and 13th. That is the Barnes & Noble at the Summit and at 801 South Hurstbourne. And if you're interested in supporting Kentucky Opera and supporting these great artists, please come and help us out at this book fair. So once again, thank you to WUOL 90.5, Classical 90.5, and a special thanks to our host, Alan Brandt, for this Lunchtime Classics program. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks for everybody for coming, and thanks for Metro TV, and look for it on Insight Channel 25. Andrew High was our producer today, our engineer, and go to our website, wuol.org, to find our complete Lunchtime Classics schedule online. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you next time.